from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, did you know the Transbay Transit Center has been branded the Salesforce Transit Center? More and more publicly funded structures, even city blocks, have corporate names. Blue Shield of California Theater, Thrive City. The Chronicle's John King joins us to talk about his concerns with the SF Brandopolis. Then California could soon pass a law protecting black workers and students from being punished for their natural hairstyles, like afros and braids. Other states are poised to do the same. We look at the issue of hair discrimination. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, sitting in today for Michael Krasny. As KQED prepares for a renovation and moves from the Mission to San Francisco's financial district temporarily, we'll soon be across from Salesforce West. A sign at eye level told me so the other day. There's also Salesforce Park, and the company has branded the Transbay Transit Center. More publicly funded entities are selling naming rights to big companies. And the Chronicle's urban design critic John King has something to say about that. His piece yesterday in the Chronicle is called Goodbye San Francisco, Hello Brandopolis. He joins us now. Good morning, John King.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being here. And I have to say, branding structures has been going on for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I moved here when the Giants played at Pac Bell Park.
Right.
So what are you noticing now that alarms you?
What's different now is that it's kind of two things. One is a line being crossed that, full disclosure, has been crossed in other cities and regions long before us, but we've been a holdout, which is public agencies selling naming rights to get some money, which, you know, we don't fund the public agencies as much as arguably we should, and everyone has high expectations and all. But you look at something like the Transbay Transit Center, which, you know, probably expected it would end up being the Nancy Pelosi Transit Center or some political name. But with that, the idea that Transbay needed money, so it put out a bid for naming rights. Salesforce smartly thought, well, we'll just buy the whole thing, slap the brand. It's close to Salesforce Tower, which is across the street from Salesforce West, which is across the street from Salesforce East. So it all helps kind of, as one email I got yesterday pointed out, that we could just change the name of San Francisco to Salesforce, and it's the same initials. So one thing is just the idea that public agencies saying, we need money, we're happy to sell our name. You know, Caltrans is investigating that right now. And if Caltrans does it, it'll be one of at least 15 transit agencies in the U.S. besides the TJPA that have done this. But then the other thing is this kind of more insidious creep of, we want our name to be what you think of. And with that, it's kind of, you know, the Warriors are building their privately funded arena, bless them, down in Mission Bay. They have signed so many sponsorship deals with so many big companies. It's a daunting list. But they came up with this idea where Kaiser Permanente, the nonprofit health provider, will pay as much as, according to Phil Matier, as much as like $295 million over 20 years to brand the block that the Warriors are developing, which includes two office buildings, it includes retail buildings, it includes Chase Center Arena, and it'll be Thrive City, which isn't even Kaiser's name, it's their marketing slogan. I mean, what if they want to ditch it in 10 years? You know, does it become Brush Your Teeth Twice Daily City or something like that? But, you know, it's this type of thing where I also have to think that Kaiser and the Warriors would be very happy if it kind of starts to blur in people like, so is Mission Bay Thrive City now? Is Dog Patch Thrive City South? Is the UCSF Mark Benioff Hospital actually in Thrive City? I mean, it's one of these things of just kind of this almost more insidious creep.
Yes.
And those two things together, it just kind of clicked in my mind.
Well, presumably, though, these entities get a lot of benefit from the funds for selling the naming rights that are supposed to advance the public good.
Sure.
So isn't that worth it?
One could argue it's worth it. I talked to the naming rights executive who oversaw the Salesforce Transit Center deal. And he was pointing out, you know, tasteful advertising is much better than a shrink wrap bus or something like that. But the flip side, it really does become a where do you stop? I mean, why not sell the naming rights to City Hall? You know, why not sell the naming rights to Union Square, to Market Street? I mean, it does start to blur in this sense of why should we question anything we're doing that brings money? And that's where things start to get awkward.
Well, take that a step further. What is the effect of that? What does it do when your City Hall becomes a company name, for example?
Yeah, I think that what it starts to do is kind of blur the notion that there are things in the civic public realm, that there are certain kind of pieces that the city shares, that the region shares, that this is, I mean, to go to the, I would like to think, absurd example, San Francisco Bay and the Hetch Hetchy water system. I mean, suppose that, you know, Google decided to buy naming rights to San Francisco Bay and paid the state of California $100 million to improve cleanup there, to do better, you know, traffic of cruise terminal line lanes, whatever. I mean, do we just kind of take it for granted that, well, you know, but look, we got something out of it.
We're talking with the Chronicle's John King about his piece raising concerns about San Francisco's move toward a so-called brandopolis. What's your take on this? Do you think the benefits of selling naming rights to companies outweigh the cost, or do you think there's a lot more at stake? What or where do you worry could be next in terms of branding? John King brought up City Hall. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Post your comments on Twitter, on Facebook, our website, or email us at forum@kqed.org. John King is only with us for the half hour, so the time to share your thoughts is now. And so, John King, also talk a little bit about the benefit to the company of doing this in what you've described in your piece is in such a brazen way. For example, you said Salesforce, instead of calling it the Salesforce Transit Center, it could have been the Transbay Transit Center presented by Salesforce. So why do companies, what is their win-win? I mean, it's obvious, but spell it out for us.
The basic win-win is that you get your name stated anytime anyone's referring to the thing. Anytime there is advertising related to the thing. What hasn't happened in the Bay Area, but has happened elsewhere, is convention centers selling their naming rights. And I was looking at a list, and it startled me that some of them, I had no idea it was even a convention center. But so the company gets ubiquity, and give Salesforce credit. The company gets kind of the good feeling of, boy, I love that new Salesforce park. It is so great that Salesforce gave us this wonderful rooftop park and everything like that. I mean, they don't say it's not a public park, but the casual thing is, oh, Salesforce must have built this.
What about donors' names, not necessarily companies? I'm thinking about the Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. Is that?
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's the thing is I didn't want to sound like an old crank in this. And there are much bigger problems in America right now than the fact that Thrive City will open this fall, you know, in Mission Bay. And it is interesting. It's like, donors have always put names on buildings. You know, again, you've got Benioff's hospital over there. You know, these kind of things you expect. And then the other thing, Transamerica Pyramid, that's not a geographical reference. It was the company that built it. The Bank of America building used to be the Bank of America building. For some reason, you kind of expect things like that will happen, or we've come to expect that. And it just is odd when the line starts getting crossed. I mean, you know, if you walk into any nonprofit building, you will see, literally, I've been into museums where the restrooms were named after donors. And I was, is this ironic? Is this an artistic statement? But, you know, you kind of, that is the modern world we live in. It's just a question of, there's something a bit more calculated than, gee, thank you for this money, but it becomes just this kind of place name stamp.
Well, as you say, while there are a lot bigger things going on in the world, you certainly struck a nerve with your piece. And we've got a lot of listeners who want to weigh in. And I'm going to start with Christine in Sunnyvale. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I lived in San Francisco for many years. And when I lived in North Beach, it was interesting how we couldn't have Pasta Pomodoro. That corporation wasn't named until later. And Ben & Jerry's was a big deal in North Beach. And now it just seems like San Francisco is selling their soul. I'm not sure what's happening to the city.
So we've gone from not wanting Ben and Jerry's
right.
in certain neighborhoods in our city to declaring
yeah,
entire public.
And again, it's such a bigger trend. Like, I'm old enough that I remember when Muni cut the deal to shrink wrap buses, and the J.C. Deco toilets had advertising on them, and there were supervisors who voted against it. It was just, this is outrageous. You know, it very much is one thing happens after the next thing happens after the next thing. And you could argue we're just catching up to what other cities have done. But it just, there's something jarring about it.
Well, also you worry about it being too normalized, it sounds like. I mean, do you see this as the story of San Francisco in some ways? The gentrification, the corporatization. There's a lot of people who lament that San Francisco
right.
is losing its soul. Do you equate or see this as a representation of that?
I don't. I think it shows a lot of troubling things about aspects of the city. But again, everyone feels so sorry now that the quaint Transamerica Pyramid is no longer the tallest tower on the skyline. You know, I mean, this is a big American city that has always dealt in capitalism and all these sorts of things. It's just the perniciousness of it that I think is different right now. And that arguably is a much larger thing about the globalization of the city and the region.
Well, Dan in San Francisco, join us.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Well,
I couldn't agree with Mr. King more. In point of fact, where we have to draw the line is at the commons. The commons, by being our streets, our sidewalks, that's where we have to draw the line. And the most violation of that lately is, in point of fact, Lyft and Ford, who have, like, basically through MTA taken over sections of our city for bicycles and advertising that transfers across the city. This is the most insidious thing that has occurred lately. What actually could have been set up by Small Business Commission working with local bicycle shops. It could have been the same network set up without having to sell it to a corporate entity like Ford, who would then sold it to a corporate entity of Lyft.
Dan?
And
thanks.
And I
want to just
and
give.
This is an example of how we need, where we need to draw the line at our commons.
Well, so Dan has an idea right. about where to draw the line.
Yeah, I think, first of all, the commons is a good term. I mean, what Dan was saying gets at the notion that it gets a little dangerous to rely on corporations ultimately to pay for everything we need or things. I will say, in Lyft's defense, Ford Go Bikes was set up by another company that does this in several cities. Lyft bought it. They're changing the name to Bay Bikes, which, you know, I'm sure they have good marketing reasons for that. But at least it's a gesture rather than Ford Go Bike.
Well, this listener tweets, these places are public goods. They're things that should bring us together, should reflect who and where we are. I believe there should be no naming rights to areas that we collectively share. I'm glad we named it the Robin Williams Tunnel because he was part of the Bay.
Right.
Are you hearing any discussion about new criteria to determine naming rights other than just who can pay the most money?
No, it's funny. Whenever public agencies set off on the we're going to investigate naming rights, they always say, but it can't be this, this, or this. And L.A.'s transit system went so far in the it can't be this, this, or this that the attorney then said, you're opening yourself up to freedom of speech. So this was like anything that might cause religious discomfort. And I'm like, that's starting to get really broad. But you definitely have a sense, you know, tobacco, for instance, there's the old thing that tobacco ads also becomes, you know, despite the very entertaining cartoon that accompanied my story, you're not going to see, you know, the Jewel Bridge because Jewel deals in a product that has been determined to be unhealthy. But the only thing, after Mark Zuckerberg, with Facebook getting all the attention last year, there was actual talk at City Hall of we should rethink naming right criterias for donors. But that was one of those things. It was like kind of a two-day story and then went away.
Erica in Palo Alto, you're on.
Hi, I just have a quick comment. My comment is I feel that these corporations should just pay their fair share of taxes, and that decisions of how that money should be spent should be up to the government, because they know where it needs to be spent. And I feel like if these people are getting richer and richer, they're the ones that can decide where that money is going to go, and I don't think that's fair.
Erica, thanks. Let me go next to Tom in San Francisco. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Nina. You know, I don't know. San Francisco has got a great history of buying and selling dirt, the same little piece of dirt. It's all real estate, and that's basically what the culture is. They're always, you know, going back to this old saw that we're a cultural center with the opera and so on and so forth down through the years. But it's basically the venal selling and buying of property. So naming everything after these corporations, the biggest pile of money, seems in context. I mean, I'm being sarcastic with this. I think a lot of it has to do with identity and how you want to identify. If you want to identify as, you know, a penny on a dollar bill, I mean, I think that's just great. But I think it's, you know, it's disgusting. It's denigrating to anything that approaches culture, real culture.
Well, Tom, thanks for that. It reminds me, John King, of something my colleague Dan Brecky and I were talking about, which besides just ceding our public space to commercial entities, it's almost like we're ceding our sense of conscience, our sense of consciousness, our the way we think, the way we view these corporations. Even Ellie writes, if there became a Salesforce City Hall, would the corporation live above the law? Can rights be bought? As we get familiar in even warm feelings for corporations, we give more rights to the anonymous and non-human giants.
That is a fair point. With the Salesforce Transit Center topped by Salesforce Park, the agreement with Salesforce does stress it can only basically use the park pretty much wholesale during Dreamforce. And then also any other events it seeks to purchase, it would just have to wait in line with any other group seeking to do something somewhere and pay those rates.
But on the other side of this, I mean, you're talking about big companies getting more savvy, more crafty about the way that they're branding themselves, using public agencies to become part of the public lexicon when you're talking about a transit center or a station that you're arriving at. But is this the march of our capitalist society? It really can't be held back, and we just need to learn to live with it?
I don't think we need to learn to live with it, but I think it is the march of capitalistic society. I mean, one reason Caltrain is examining the options is that it saw the TJPA cut a big deal with Salesforce, who was working with the consultant who's done similar deals in Richmond, Virginia, and San Diego, California, and on and on and on. So it is, but I do think you can kind of think about what sort of standards should we be setting up, and are there places where we just politely should draw the line and say, well, let's reword it.
Do you know what the status is of Caltrain's effort to sell naming rights for its stations?
Yeah, they voted to do that in March. So the first thing they're going to do is get a consultant to put together the bid, you know, like to put out the request for proposals. So they'll probably get a consultant in the last half of this year and start looking next year.
And what's East Cut?
East Cut, these are such nice people. I felt bad putting them in the piece. There are these, and this is also handing off public, you know, the community benefits districts where property owners put money into fees for street cleaning, ambassadors, programs, whatever, in neighborhoods. They're all over the city and all over the country. The one that represents the Transbay area and the Rincon Hill area was working on how do we kind of start thinking about this as a unified place. And they came up with the name East Cut because the Second Street was cut through Rincon Hill in 1869 to connect the growing city with the growing waterfront down in what now is the Mission Bay area, back when it was all finger piers and things. And so they chose this name to kind of like put that area on the map. You know, this is like you could have called it Soma East or something, but they're calling it the East Cut. And the problem I just have logically is the East Cut is 2nd Street, which is actually the western boundary. And then also, if you are there looking for an East Cut, there's no cut. It's actually going up to Rincon Hill. So it's just one of these things that instead of viscerally feeling right, which you can, you know, again, Soma was a ripoff of Soho, but it did settle into the lexicon. It's just one of these things. Where's the East Cut? What's east of it? So is 2nd Street the middle? No, the 2nd Street, you know.
So basically, something that makes logical sense should also be part of the criteria.
Yes.
Let me go next to Ben in Saratoga. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you? I think this is really all based on economics, right? We are selling these names. They aren't buying them, right? We put a price on them so that our costs go down. If we want to sell the name to a Caltrans station, it's all about having fares be lower. And if we allow someone to build a new stadium for the Warriors, that's okay. We give them the ability to sell the name of the stadium that's built into the cost of the stadium. So we've got to step back and go, it's about economics. And if we want to pay more for certain things, we decide not to sell them. And if we want lower fares or lower things or more things in our library, then we sell the name. So what do we do?
Ben, thanks. And it goes back to our earlier conversation about the benefits mm-hmm. potentially derived from it outweighing this yes. particular cost. But I think what you're recommending is just wrestling with that a little bit more than maybe we are.
Wrestling with that, and then also there becomes a certain expectation. We don't have to put money into it because we can always sell it. And so you're essentially kind of seeding the notion of the civic standards being set, and then it becomes the muni stations that are in neighborhoods where people want to buy the naming rights are going to be nicer muni stations than the ones that are in poorer neighborhoods where nobody wants to be the, you know, I don't want to brand the Excelsior bus stop.
Well, a couple of other online comments. Cooper asks, if a company like Salesforce suffers a public embarrassment, how could that affect the perception of mm-hmm. using the namespace, such as the Transit Center? And Joshua says, it's shameful. These people are the reason the city is being sold to the highest bidder. Selling public property rights without asking the public is a problem. Ooh, should the public get a say, John Key?
You know, the Warriors have the right to do what they want to do. I mean, it does get into like, well, do you sell a library's naming right? Whatever. You know, it's interesting.
You're not so sure we should put this out for a public vote. John King, urban design critic at the San Francisco Chronicle. His piece, Goodbye San Francisco, Hello Brandopolis. You can find that at the Chronicle.
Thank you, Mina.
Thanks so much for being here. And we'll have a half hour next on hair discrimination. Stay with us for that. I'm Mina Kim.